Well, again, this morning, I would like to talk about gratitude and about thanksgiving. And, you know, again, we seem to target particular times of the year to do these things. Thanksgiving time, turkey, football, the whole great thing. Trick, what is that that's in turkey that makes you go to sleep? Some trick the fan or some, is that what it's called? You eat all the turkey, you go down, you lay down and go to sleep. Now, I used to think I got in trouble when I did that because I wasn't helping with the dishes. Now I know I was drugged and I had no control over it. But, you know, Thanksgiving is not the time only just in November, just as we should not express our love for one another only in February on the 14th. And so gratitude is something that we, I think all of us understand that should be a part of our thinking. We should be thankful. But are we really? Are we truly thankful? And what is it that we're thankful for? It's easy to be thankful for those things that are obvious to me. If I get in a car wreck and somebody pulls me out of the car, I'm pretty grateful to that person for doing that. That's pretty obvious. But are you thankful and grateful for the things that aren't quite so obvious, but if you thought about them and changed the way that you thought, you would realize that we are not near as grateful in our lives as we should be. As we should be. Back in 1860, on Lake Michigan, I don't know how many of you have ever been up there. Canada, even worse. A little cold in Canada. How much cold is it up there during the winter? Minus 50 or 60. Are you insane? Oh my gosh. So it has to go up 50 degrees. It has to warm up 50 degrees to be zero. Okay, that kind of puts it in perspective. Lake Michigan gets pretty cold too. You come back and visit us anytime you want to, just to warm up, all right? That would be fine. But Lake Michigan's pretty cold if you've ever been up to that neck of the woods up there. But in 1860, there was a crowded passenger steamer that was going along Lake Michigan, and it foundered, and it began to sink. And so some people gathered on the shore, and there was a young Bible student that was watching, a guy by the name of Edward Spencer. And as he's watching, he could actually see a woman that's struggling. And so he pulled his coat off and he jumped in the water and swam out to her and was able to bring her in, saved her life. 16 more times he went out and brought back another person until finally, from exhaustion and the cold, hypothermia, he just collapsed on the shore. Now, he survived that. He actually lived to be 81 years old, but the health problems that he endured stayed with him the rest of his life. He never got to go preach. He never got to travel and to do the things that he really thought God had called him to do, all because of what it was that he did. And when he died, out in California is where he lived, the paper said that they recounted what had taken place on the Lake Michigan shores. And this is what they said. They said, it was discovered that of those 17 people, not one of them ever sought him out to say thank you for saving my life. Not one. And so what am I thankful for this morning? Now, that might be an easy question just right off the top of your head. Well, I'm thankful. You already said I got to be thankful for my husband or my wife. I'm thankful for the country I live. I'm thankful for my job and those kinds of things. Let me give you some other things to consider being thankful for. Although you may not think of them right away. I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that are a little bit tight on me because it means I'm well fed. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning. Yeah, I knew you weren't going to go with me on that one anyway. You're too smart for me. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need to be cleaned out because it means I have a home. I am thankful for that spot at the far end of the parking lot because it means I can walk. I'm thankful for all the complaining that I hear about my government because it means I have free speech. A couple more. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off early every morning to get me up because it means I am still alive. And I'm thankful for the weariness and the aching muscles that I have at the end of the day because it means I had been productive. That's a changing of what we should be thankful for. And we may not always feel that way. It's so much easier to complain. And we've talked in here many times about how easy it is to fuss and complain. and I just gripe about everything, things that don't go the way I want them to. When in reality, if we could change the direction of our thinking and change the condition of our heart, we can begin to realize the incredible blessings that God has given us. Turn to the book of Luke, if you have your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third one. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament. I want to share with you just a familiar story briefly, and then I've got a couple things. I promise not to go like, boy, last week, I got the tape, and I went like 40 minutes last week. Some of you were very nice to me, though. I appreciate that. I only heard just from several of you to not talk so long. That's not true. Nobody said anything. I'm just messing with you. But in the book of Luke, there's an account of the 10 lepers that were healed of leprosy. You know this story, by and large. I'm sure many of you do. Let me just read the account quickly. The 11th verse, rather, of the 17th chapter of Luke. Luke 17, starting verse 11. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" Let me just stop there. The reason that you have to understand why they were standing at a distance was because back in Mosaic law, when God first gave the law to Moses, he gave them laws not only about worship, but he also gave them laws about how to live with 3 or 4 million people all close together. And a part of that had to do with hygiene. You know, God's very thorough with what he tells us. God's very thorough in our lives. God doesn't miss detail. I know so many times we feel like we have to kind of fix the little things here and just make sure, God, in case you didn't catch this, I know there's a lot going on overseas and the whole terrorism and all that. I got this. And we're the ones that come in and want to change the details of our lives. God understands detail. He knows what needs to be done. And part of the law that he gave to the children of Israel was, if anybody had leprosy. Now, leprosy in the Old Testament was a very broad term for any type of a skin rash or disease, something that they couldn't identify. Well, you wouldn't want those people walking around visiting you in your tent. It's why my wife's not in church here today. She doesn't want to be coming here and hacking all over everybody. She's very considerate that way. Me, she doesn't care. But she's being very gentle. But if you had a skin disease in Old Testament times, you had to remove yourself a distance from the camp. And until that skin lesions or whatever it was you were dealing with was gone, you could not be a part of camp life. You then had to actually go to the priest, and they had to purify you and declare that you were clean before you could come back into the community. So these 10 guys, they're just hanging out with each other because they got no one else. And the only way that they could get Jesus' attention is if they stood far enough away and started yelling, "Jesus, over here! Come here, we need some help." That's where we are. Okay, where am I at here? Verse 15? 14. "When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.'" That's what they had to do. That was a part of the Mosaic law. "And," watch this now, "as they went, they were cleansed." That speaks to me deeply. As they went. So in other words, before they left, Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." The guys are standing there looking at each other going, "Do you feel any better? You still look terrible. You've got things falling off of you. We can't go to see the priests." As they went. So in other words, they had to make a decision. We are going to do what it is that Jesus told us to do. We are going to have faith that what he said not only is true, but it's done. How much is our faith like that? Do we have that same kind of a faith? Do we look at what the Word says, and when we want to apply that to our lives, are we waiting just going, "Okay, God, as soon as you show that to me, I'm good to go"? Or are we willing to take God at his word and to say, "You know what, God, this doesn't look right to me. This looks like a bad situation, but you've told me that this is going to be victory in my life. I'm going to live that way. I'm going to believe that way. I'm going to speak that way. I'm not going to let those things overwhelm me because you've told me you're greater in me than anything of the world is. You've told me that even though things around me may not be going the way that they should, in my life you've given me joy. You've given me peace." Those are the things that these lepers were saying, "Wait a minute, we're not clean. Where can we go to the priest?" As they went, they were cleansed. they were made clean. You know what? So many times I think God is just waiting for men and women, young people, that are willing to take him at his word and to believe and to live the way that he's made these promises to us. Because they're all true. Okay, don't get me all started. That doesn't even count. I'm not even on my sermon yet here. Right, where am I? I'm going to get all off track here. All right, verse 15. So, as they went, watch, they were cleansed. Now, verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Jesus is looking for people that have a heart of gratitude. Not about getting things. Can we remove from our mind the blessing of God has to do with things and money? That seems to be the place where we get stuck. You say, Pastor Dave, I've got a lot of bills, man. God's not blessing me. Do you have health? Do you have a right mind? Do you have relationships with people that care about you and love you? Are you able to come to a church where you know that people love you? Those are blessings. As I pray every Sunday, I always pray for our nation. Our nation's in a mess right now. Just no two ways about it. But I'm not fearful because God is greater than what's going on in our nation. But now don't forget, and Randy and I were talking about this just for a minute this morning, we threw God out of our country. We threw him out of our schools. We've thrown him out of our government. We've thrown him out of all these places. What do we think's going to happen? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And so what would keep these guys from going back to say thank you to Jesus? What keeps us from saying thank you or being grateful in our lives? Let me give you several. Here's the first one. I think for a lot of these guys, it just wasn't convenient. I can kind of see them getting back to the priest and where they were and have all the things that had to take place. And now they're looking at each other going, you know, I really appreciate what this guy did, but do we have to go all the way back and thank him? It's just not convenient for me. And you know, in our lives, we live lives of convenience. At least that's the measure of what it is that we put on the things that we do. I've said this to you before. Anything that is vitally important to you or something that you want, it's never inconvenient. Okay, you're going to go to the beach for vacation. You're going to be flying to Hawaii. But the thing is, you got to be at the airport at 3 in the morning. I don't think that's a problem for me. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. I'll get up at whatever time I need to go. I was thinking about my father-in-law today. Because I thought, man, this was one of Dad's favorite Sundays. My father-in-law was a hunter in every sense of the word, capital H. And he loved when we walked in here and they had the bears and the deer and all that kind of thing. I could see him coming in sometimes. He's going, oh, I've shot things bigger than that. Give me something that impresses me. But it was never inconvenient for Dad to be up first thing in the morning, early, 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 to head up to hunting camp and to do those kinds of things. Why? Because it mattered to him. And see, for so many of us, with the things that God does for us, it's only when it's convenient that we think to say thank you to him. But you know, it's been that way for an awful long time. It's why in the book of Hebrews in 13:15, the writer calls it a sacrifice of praise. When we give a sacrifice to him of praise, it means I need to do something that may not be comfortable for me. I may have to give some time out of my life that I may want to go do something else. But instead, I'm going to come to the Father and just say, Father, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for loving me. And again, see, I realize it's an effort to come to church sometimes in the morning. I understand that. Had a tough Saturday night. Had a hard weekend. Man, I put in 70 hours of work this week. Killing me at work today, this week. And on Sunday morning, the alarm goes off at 7 or at 8. And how easy is it to reach over and to hit the snooze? How easy is it to justify in our minds, well, you know what, I'll watch the guy on TV. I'll watch him preach. That's almost good. He's better than Pastor Dave anyway. I like him better. I can get him, put him on pause and go to the bathroom when I need to. Get another donut. It's easy to justify those things. This is why I'm so grateful when you come every Sunday. I mean, outside of Dave and Faith, I don't expect anybody else to be here. I know they're going to come. But I know you're going to come too because your hearts are right before God, because you're hungry for the things of God. I appreciate you college kids more than I can tell you. I remember what it was like. Class of 80, that was me. 1980. I remember. It's easy to stay in bed, but when you want the things that are important in your life, nothing is inconvenient. But sometimes it's hard. It's difficult. Second thing, I think many times we're too proud to say thank you to somebody. Pride becomes that thing that prevents us from being who we should be. Again, we have talked a great deal in here about pride. It's something that one of the few things in the Bible that it says God hates pride. Hates pride. It's not that he says, you know, well, you ought to be careful about this and try not to be too proud. No, God hates pride. He says in Proverbs 22:4, he said, humility is the fear of the Lord. And watch now, when you are humble, the wages are riches and honor and life. Not only is it good that we're not proud, but when we are humble, God pours his blessing onto us when we live humble lives. He says, James 4:6, it says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. I don't know about you, and I don't know everything about God or about the Bible, but I don't want God opposing me. That's not a good place to be. Again, it doesn't say that God is a little unhappy with the prideful people. It said he opposes them. Just a few more verses after that. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. My friends, humility, pride, all of those things is all a choice and a condition of our hearts. We choose those things. I want to choose to be humble before God. I've shared with you before just the course of my life up until this point. And I call my life my car. You know what I'm going to say because I've said it before. I call my life my car. When I drive my car, every time I drive it straight into a tree. Every time. That's me. That's me driving the life of my car. But when I'm willing to allow the Father to come, humble myself, step out of what it is that I want in my life and allow him to lead me, he brings me to places that I could never imagine. 15 years ago, I could never imagine standing here. Never. But I had to humble myself. Now, God will help you get humble sometimes. Any of you ever had those times when you feel like, oh, okay, this is a humbling moment right now? God will give you those opportunities. The question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to allow that to seed into your heart? Or are you going to find a way to elevate yourself again so that you are the one that's being seen, that's getting glory, that people are saying, boy, you're wonderful. You know what, folks? I've lived on both sides of that fence. And can I tell you from my own personal experience, I never want to be any place that God is opposing me. I'm going to lay down before him and say, Father, what do you want for me? What do you want for me? Again, you college folks, man, you're at such a great time of your life. You've got basically a blank slate in front of you. God's not written on it yet, but what's the condition of your heart as you're getting ready for that time? Father, what do you want for me? Don't be too proud for anything. Third reason I think then too, I think sometimes we're too self-conscious to say thank you. Many times we don't know what to say. And I get that. Not everybody's as comfortable talking in front of people. Not everybody's even comfortable talking to strangers, people they don't know well. And it's especially hard with those people that are closest to you because, you know, guys, come on, let's face it, man. If you're going to be tough, if you're going to be bad, you can't be, you know, saying these gushy, mushy things to people. You know, and if I say my wife that I really thank her and I appreciate her, she's going to think I'm weak. She's not going to like the thing. Those are all the things that the enemy wants us to believe. Those are all the lies that come with, I have to be first. I have to be the strong one in my life. God says, no. If you humble yourself, I'll be the one to lift you up. But I'll tell you the place that we do need to have the words, and that's before the Father when we pray. I shared with you a couple years ago, I guess it was, we talked about the Lord's Prayer, which is actually not the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. He was teaching the disciples how to pray. You want to read the Lord's Prayer, go to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where God was hearing the prayer of his son Jesus. But there's a little acronym, it's called ACTS, A-C-T-S. That is the formula of prayer, of a balanced prayer. A for adoration, we adore God. C for confession, we confess our sins to him. T for thanksgiving, we thank him. And then S for supplication, or for asking things of God. I've seen two more that have been added to those. I for intercession, for praying for one another. and then P for the personal things about my own life. I've never liked the order of that. And I think that's what brings us to the place many times of not understanding how important it is to be grateful to God. The first thing we need to do when we pray is we need to adore Him. Again, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. Hallowed means holy. That's a praise word. Hallowed be your name. First thing we should do when we come to pray to God is just praise Him. Thank Him for Him, for who He is. But you know what the second thing we need to do? I think we need to thank Him. T needs to be second. We've got to get to the place where we are thanking God before we're bringing all of our things to Him. That's a grateful heart. And you can say you've got a grateful heart, but how do you act? What do you say? And if you do your laundry list before God of the things that you need and what you want in your life, and make no mistake, God wants to hear those things. But first, I want Him to know, I'm just so grateful for what You've already given me. Thank You, God, for my family. Thank You, God, for my health. Thank You, Father, for warmth in a room. Thank You for food in my stomach, clothes on my back. I got a vehicle that gets me where I need to get. I've got family that I love, friends that are important to me. I've got a sound mind, most of us. I've got a sound mind. All of these things that God gives us that we just take for granted. And these lepers had a magnificent thing done in their lives, completely changed who they were. And yet they didn't know how to come back and say thank you. My friends, don't ever let that be us. Never allow that to be a part of your life. First thing, God, thank You. Got to pay my taxes. Thank You, I have a job. I got to walk all the way from the back of the parking lot up to the Barnes & Noble. I didn't want to be this far. I can walk up to there. Be grateful. Fourth one. I'm going to start to wrap this up. I think some of the lepers were still feeling sorry for themselves. Still feeling sorry for themselves. Bible doesn't tell us how long that they were in that condition. Good chance it was probably most of their lives. Like I said, they had to live outside of the community. Maybe some of these guys are walking to the priest going, well, it's about time. This Jesus guy's been running around healing everybody else. What took them so long to get to us? Still feeling sorry, still thinking about all the things they had to endure. Can I tell you that there are a few things that rob our gratitude quicker than our minds and our eyes focused on how things used to be in the past? Talked about this a couple weeks ago. Are we going to spend our time looking behind us and where we wish things were different, or are we going to be looking ahead to what it is God wants to do in our lives? Not looking back. Not concerned about what used to be. Yeah, you've had a tough time. Yes, things have been difficult for you in the past. Can I tell you that there isn't one person you'll ever talk to that won't have the same kind of stories? We all have those things we've had to deal with. Where was God? Right there in the midst of it. He still is. No matter what it is you're dealing with this morning, no matter what the depth of the struggle, no matter what the heartache is, God is right there. And all He's asking is just you turn to Him. Just ask Him to come. To be the Lord of that situation, to be the Lord of your heartache, to be the Lord of your struggle, of your finances, to be the Lord of your body and of your health. He'll be faithful to that every time. Two more. I think many of them didn't thank God because they were too busy with everything else that got going in their lives. Just too busy. Hey, they got healed. Now, boom, they're back in society. Now they're a part of things that are going on. Well, everything took off. They just forgot. Yeah, I don't exactly remember how I got here, but I got this going on now. I've got a family. I've got all these things. Can I tell you this morning that there is nothing more important that you're doing in your life than being right before the Father? Nothing. I'm not saying that we don't need to be responsible to the things that need to be done. Yes, we do. I'm not saying that there aren't things that are going to take our time. But God is much more interested in the condition of what it is that's going on inside of you than the things you're doing on the outside. Be true to your responsibilities. Be true to your word. Be where you're supposed to be. Do the things you're supposed to do. But never let those things take away from you the understanding that everything is by my Father's hand. Everything's by His hand. Here's the last one. You know, I think a lot of these guys, they just didn't feel like it. And I think that's probably true for us today. We just don't feel like being grateful. I can't be bothered with all of that. Can I tell you that is one of the most dangerous things that we can allow to come into our minds? The apathy, the unwillingness to step out, The unwillingness to commit myself to something that other people aren't going to understand. And certainly the world is not going to support a heart that's generous and loving and kind and thankful. The world says, get what you can get, as much as you can, and it does not matter what takes place in other people's lives. Doesn't matter what you got to do to someone else, get what you can get. That's exactly the opposite of what God says we should do. That's exactly the opposite of what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that we humble ourselves, that we give to one another. And giving is not just a physical thing. Giving is of my heart. Giving's of my compassion. It's of my love. Giving's of my patience. It's of my gentleness. That's what it is that God wants from us. And this morning, if we can come to the place of saying, Father, no matter what it is that's going in my life, no matter what I do have or what I don't have, my heart is just still filled with gratitude. We are bringing ourselves to a place that God is going to pour out into our lives blessing that we won't be able to contain. Pastor Dave, does that mean I'm going to get rich? I don't know. That's not the first thing we should be asking. First thing we should be asking is, Father, does this mean I'm going to have a closer relationship with you? That I'm going to hear your voice? I was reading about Elijah earlier this morning. No reason. I just like reading about Elijah. Elijah was a tough guy. He was like the professional wrestler of the Old Testament. I can see him jumping off the ropes on the top, coming down on the Baal guys. But Elijah, I know, I'm sorry, I apologize for that. But Elijah was up in the mountain once, and God told him, get ready, I'm going to be coming by. He said, I want you to be ready. My presence is going to come past you. And the Bible says Elijah went out and said there was a powerful wind that came blowing through. Massive wind, but God wasn't in the wind. Bible then says there was an earthquake. The ground trembled and shook, but God wasn't in the earthquake. It said then fire came down. Well, certainly, no, God wasn't in the fire. Then, you know what I'm going to say? A gentle whisper came. God's presence was in the whisper. You know, if I'm running around doing all kinds of things, if I never shut up long enough, if my mind never gets set on the things of Him, I'm going to miss that whisper. My friends, desire to hear the voice of God. And it's a whisper that comes in humility. It's a whisper that you'll hear when your mind and your heart is set to Him. You know, a lot of times people don't want to be grateful because they don't like the people that helped them. The Bible tells us, you know, you need to be nice to strangers. Why? They may be angels. That scripture says that. The Bible says that there are things you're going to be dealing with that God knows where it is that it's going to be going, and He's preparing you in that circumstance. These are the things that we need to begin to allow to come into our mind to say, God, you know better than I do. You see the beginning from the end. And so this morning, can I encourage you, take away your grumbling, take away your complaining, and bring in an attitude and a heart of thanksgiving. Don't wait till November. Do that now. Always in an attitude and a heart of thanksgiving, because when you do that, there's a change that comes to the way you see your life. There's a recognition of the fact that, you know what, yeah, this is not exactly the way I was hoping it would be, but boy, it sure could be a lot worse. And oh, by the way, there are an awful lot of people that have so much less than what I have been giving. I want that perspective to be right before my Father. And the only way that's going to happen is when you make that choice for that. So when you feel yourself beginning to complain a little bit, get a little bit nasty, get a little bit cranky about things, set your mind on the things of God. Begin listing all the things. Begin speaking all of those things that God has done for you. I can promise you, when you begin to embrace that and allow that to be what's filling your mind and your heart, it's going to change the way that you're seeing what's going on in your life. To His glory. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you do provide for us. Thank you, God, that you are a God that blesses. The Word tells us that you desire to bless us even more than we can ask or think. More than our imagination can even come up with is how you want to bless your children. But Father, there is pride. There is attitude. There is sin that often keep us from being in a place to be able to receive all that you desire to do for us. Lord, that doesn't mean that we earn your blessing. But Father, your word tells us that our hearts need to be right before you. Father, I pray that we would be trustworthy of your blessing. That you will give us, Father, so abundantly, and it won't change who we are. We will still desire to be humble before you. We will desire to bless people around us. Father, that our hearts will be held in a place that the enemy can't come and give us lies and those things, Father, that are not of your word. But in every circumstance, in every situation, we are faithful to you. And so, Father, I pray blessing over each and every person here today. I thank you, God. I thank you for them. God, I am so grateful for each and every person. Whether this is their first time here, whether they've been with us from the very beginning, God, just thank you that they were with us here today. God, it's a blessing to us to be able to worship when you bring men and women, young people. God, they're just hungry for you. And it's an honor to be able to come before you with them. So God, I pray as they leave, as they go from this place, that you will continue to minister to them. I pray, God, that in every situation they come to, that they will be filled with gratitude for what it is that you've given them. And God, in those times when we begin to complain, forgive us, Lord. Bring it to our minds quickly so that we can change that, so we can rehumble our lives before you. Keep us safe, I pray. We look forward to being back again together next week. And we give you all the glory for every blessing that you're going to be doing in and through us in this week to come. It's in your matchless Son's name that we pray all of these things together. Say it with me. Amen.